This is Airbnb Update, episode 409, recorded Friday, April 19th, 2013. Who's that poking? Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us on this episode of Airbnb Update. We are here this week with Alex43 from Informer.
That's
he is
me.
Here because he has a good connection to this week's update, so he's going to be able to talk in depth about some things that we're not able to. But aside from that, it's just us two normal people here with Alex.
Not calling me not normal?
Well, no. I mean, in addition to you.
I'm abnormal. I'm superior. I'm God.
Well, yeah, some of your articles on Informer definitely are the superior bunch of them. So,
oh, thanks,
that's,
guys.
That's a good
that's
thing.
Nice. That means a lot.
Anyways, so.
Yeah.
Shall we start with the...
So, Latido?
Let's start with the dual arena, since that's a simple update of this week. It really is just another graphical rework to the area. It was in dire need beforehand, because if you remember correctly, the dual arena has pretty much been in the same place and had the same configuration with minor tweaks along the way since it first came out. And I think it came out back in 2002 when members first came out.
2002? No, a little later than that. In fact, I don't even think it was in Alet and RuneScape Classic.
Yeah,
sure
it was.
It was not. It was.
Dueling Arena was on, but Dueling was there.
It was. Like you just walk up to somebody, request a duel, and then you could fight him wherever you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but
so
the Duel Arena did come out with when RS2 started coming out. It came out. I remember messing with it during the beta. They were testing it out. It actually caused a lot of fanfare because people weren't happy they couldn't just duel anywhere. They actually had to go somewhere to fight other people.
Yeah. Oh boy, a blast from the past, eh?
That was awesome. I remember that almost the sole purpose of dueling somebody else was to get a free teleport to Lembridge at the time.
Yep. That's actually most people did it in dangerous areas by leaving at the last second if a monster killed them. Let's take their stuff.
Oh yeah. It's like, come with me, I want to do this in the Scorpion Pit so it looks epic. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I misclicked.
So, the Duel Arena has been given a great big graphical polish, bringing it up to the standard of the Alcard rework that came with Stolen Hearts and Diamond in the Rough last year.
Which looks really good.
Yeah, it does. They note that there are structural and technical tweaks as well. New dedicated arenas for boxing matches and summoning-enabled duels. That's good, you know, because back before this, if you were summoning in there, your duel would be combined with other people who were having a normal duel, and the fact that the two are worked together caused for some problems when you would get those summoning creatures in there. You know, it was just more fluff that wasn't needed. So, that's good. There's also fewer visible combat arenas, but in order to fix this, what they did, if they're full, you get an instanced arena, so much like everything else that's been happening recently, they're starting to instance things on the same world. So that's good to know, that they can do these kind of small instances like that, and it really paves the way for stuff in the future. So
I haven't actually been to the Duel Arena. Are you able to request to watch the instance duels? Like, you can say which username you want to watch a duel of, and then you can watch it?
You know, that's an interesting question, because they still got it set up where you can just lean in and watch. There wasn't anyone dueling when I was there, so I can't really answer that question. But a good question nonetheless. Can you watch the instance duels?
Mm-hmm. I'll need to request it. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you want to. I mean, if they're dueling on, if your friend's dueling on a very populated world and it has to be instanced, and he can just let you know while the duel's going on.
Yeah, there'd be nothing wrong with that. So,
I mean, that's how duels would go. I mean, everybody goes on the dueling world, and that's where everybody is, and they wouldn't want to change worlds just to not have an instance duel.
Yeah, and that's good that you can actually do that now, setting a standard for games and whatnot going forward. So,
gives you more control. I like it.
Moving on from this, there's also a structural change the way they did it. It's all on one level now. So you remember previously you would have to, I think you used to have to go up to a different map level. Am I correct?
To watch the stuff.
Yeah, to watch.
Yeah, you had to go up the ramp and to watch it.
Technically, it's all on the same level though.
Okay.
Because you go up on the ramp and it's elevated and everything, it's technically on the same level.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I couldn't remember if you had if it was all on the same level before, or if this is something new they're doing here. Because in this case, it's very seamless because there's steps and whatnot going up that you don't need to change maps with. So that's a good thing. But I don't know. I don't remember. But Alex, you're saying that it was like that before?
Yep. Otherwise, you wouldn't really be able to see the duels from the top there because you wouldn't see anything on the floor below.
Yeah. There's really not much else to say to this. The side entrance to the duel arena has been pretty much just made into a banking area. So for those of you that wander over there expecting it to be in the same position, you'll discover that the banking guy is there, but the combat hospital and the place to actually start the duels has been moved into the center of it. So it's much easier to get to. So if you're just, for example, coming from the cactus farming plot there, you just walk up and turn right and go straight into the place rather than having to go along the edge like you did before. And in there, that's where you get the Constitution Cape and have banking options as well.
Did they move the fire altar so it's about the same distance? Technically, the bank's now a lot closer.
You know, I think the fire altar is a bit closer now than it was before, actually.
Oh. That's good news for runecrafters out there.
Well, yeah.
It's called RuneSpan.
Yeah.
Okay, non-member RuneCrafters.
Still RuneSpan.
No, RuneSpan's available for non-members, isn't it?
Yeah, you just can't go as high.
Yeah. But still, there might be people who want to make fire runes, and this is a good thing for them, of course. So, anyways, that's the duel arena. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about pertaining to this?
Not really. I don't duel very often.
And I've never been a big part in PvP in this game anyway.
Yeah. Not good for the spine.
You're in a duel. You don't have a spine.
Well, not if I'm good at it.
All right.
Besides, people who fight and win usually do some cheap tactics anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like me, eh? Like when we duel in my house. That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun.
All right. So moving on from this, the tweaks and fixes for this week. There's a new music shuffle option if you want to listen to the various music tracks that are available. So this pretty much works like an actual MP3 player now.
Considering there's over 900 songs to listen to, I think it's a well-deserved addition or a well-needed addition.
So you're not going to miss anything, you're not going to miss any songs that you don't want to hear. In that case, you'll get a good representation of what's available. So
I'll just add them to the playlist if you don't want to listen to a bunch.
Yep.
Oh, actually, anyways, since everything is saved onto your computer, you can easily just make it into it and then put it into an iPod or something.
What?
Remember, all the songs are actually saved on your computer.
Really?
Used to be. I don't know if they are now.
Should be.
900 songs saved on my computer. That would take a bit of memory, wouldn't it? Where would you find it? Like, I'm on a Mac right now. Where would you find them?
I don't know, but let's have a look at this after, because that would be something interesting to test. Let's move on to the release notes for this week. Before I go through some of mine, does anybody have anything they want to specifically mention?
About
Have fun.
Yeah.
No, I mean the release notes. More in-depth tweaks and fixes.
Let me just read it real quick. No, go ahead.
Okay. Stretching issue at the Varrock Four armor has been fixed. I noticed this one because I've been wearing that quite a bit, so that's good to see that's been fixed up. Mm-hmm. The Smoking Kills quest now recognizes the correct combat level. Remember, you needed a combat level to start that quest. That's the one in the desert where you get access to the smoke dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Logging out and into a Castle Wars lobby no longer causes the teams to become unbalanced. The Tokhar Toxket deal in the fight kiln is now weak to crush instead of water spells to match the other Toxket deal. Yeah, I assume we've all finished Brink of Extinction here by now.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Uh-huh. I have.
I just have no time.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if it's been fixed up and is easy to use level now, you know?
For what?
Or easy to complete, rather.
Oh, well, I'll let you know if I finally beat the boss, because last time I tried it, I didn't do so well.
Please do. Please do. Here's a funny one. Cows are no longer a lower level than their calves. That's funny that can happen. I wonder how long that was like that.
Because they're young and awesome. They've got awesome parkour abilities.
Well, no, it means their combat level is no longer lower than their offspring. Not their calves, like the body part.
They should be proud of their sons for that. I mean, come on. Their sons are going to be better cows than they will. Yeah, the sons are going to be better cows than they were ever were.
I know, but that doesn't make logical sense now, does it?
I guess not.
All right. Anything else on this one, either of you? The release notes?
Go ahead.
Nope.
Nope.
The Hex Hunter has been buffed to make it as good as the tier 11 Dungeoneering bows. Why is it not better than the tier 11 Dungeoneering bows, considering how hard it is to get?
What is the Hex Hunter again?
The Hex Hunter bow is what you...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you get them from the Soul Gazers, and I think it's like 99 Slayer to get them.
Oh, okay.
To actually kill a Soul Gazer, and then you have like a 1 in, I guess, 20 chance in order to actually get the Hex Hunter bow. But originally, they were very good because they did extra damage against Magi.
Okay. Good to know.
So if it's as good as the tier 11 Dungeoneering bows, it's still pretty weak compared to what it used to be.
Yep. Alright, moving on to the community roundup. Not much in here I want to highlight this week. Except for the fan-made party hats, which is always nice to see, you know? If you can't have party hats in RuneScape, make them in real life.
Yeah, why not? It's a lot more real that way.
Yep, and they don't cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, but then again, you can't sell them for an arm and leg either.
Yeah, yeah.
I like my arm.
It's true. But in other notes, for those of you out there, just speaking of rares briefly, who have the Christmas tree hat, that's up to about 47 million GP right now.
Really? Nice.
Yep.
I'm going to keep hold of mine and see how high it goes. I do.
Have what? What was it again?
The Christmas tree hat. Oh, it's up to 55 now.
I never had one. Man.
Wow. Nice.
I never had one.
Oh my. I wonder what these are going to hit by Christmas time.
Oh, it's going to crash by Christmas time.
They're probably going
to
stop at 120.
I wonder if I'll ever be able to... If I'll ever be able to trade it for a white party hat.
Well, while you're there, why don't you take a look at the fish mask and see what the price of that thing is?
Yeah, that's in the toilet. Fish mask is in the toilet. It's at 2.2 right now. But for some reason, that's shot up as well.
Really?
So, highest the fish mask ever went was about 7 million back in July of last year. So,
can you still get it, like, every so often?
No. you can't get either of them right now. Unknown if they will be bringing back the Christmas tree hat this Christmas.
I doubt
probably,
it.
Probably not. We won't. We will never know. I hope they don't.
Yeah.
Because they're testing us, seeing if we can handle another party hat, per se.
Yeah, exactly. And let's hope that the people actually can. Because it's nice to have nice things like this.
Because, things that nobody else has. That's what everyone wants.
And the problem with it is that you get nice things and people get upset about it. So just because of a few people, that's why the world can't have nice things.
The only thing is that it's a Christmas tree on your head. I mean, party hats, they look like crowns. They make you look awesome, like royalty. You have a Christmas tree on your head.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. It's not something I'd want to spend $55 million on.
I thought you already had one.
I do. Oh. That's why I don't have to spend it.
All right. So, one more thing in the community roundup. If RuneScape was real, what would RuneScape be like in real life? So,
lots and lots
two
and
guys
lots of lags.
Put together a bunch of things that would happen in real life if RuneScape was real. So, some examples are trolling, botting. Let's see, what was another one? I know trolling and botting were
other people to shut up.
Hmm.
Bunch of 12-year-olds running around saying I'm better than you.
Yeah, random events is another one. This guy in the video was on the toilet and a random event appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be annoying?
Probably would. Yeah. Is there an instance where one guy slugs another guy and then the guy who gets slugged gets up, eats a piece of pizza and totally forgives him?
No.
Yeah. That's what real life would be like if it was RuneScape.
All right. So have a watch this video. It's a very nice video. Good credit to the people out there who made them, Parker Games on YouTube. So just have a watch and see what they got.
Sure, will do. Oh, they don't want me to attempt any of the stunts. Darn it.
All right, so after that, we got the new super rares on Squeal of Fortune. So the old ones have been replaced with these. Pets including Tumbleweed. You can have a little thing of Tumbleweed following you, I guess. I'd like to get that one.
Mm-hmm, that'd be cool.
You know, things that follow you are kind of annoying. Scully.
Scully!
It's a skull. It's a talking skull. Basically, you have Posty Pete following you, except he lost his post bag in half.
Squirks the parrot.
No one wants a parrot.
Okay. I like my undead parrot.
Did you forget to feed it or something?
No, I brought it back to life. I'm trying to feed it, but it keeps on refusing it politely.
Also, you get the Wizard's Tower staff, the Dominion Tower maul, and Slayer Tower short bow. Except the stats of these aren't that great, so they're mainly cosmetic. So
why do they call it the Wizard's Tower staff? Does it actually look like a tower?
I don't know. I've not seen one of these up close yet. And the pictures provided on the RS Wiki are tiny, so hard to say.
And I'll just have to get them, I suppose.
Also, headgear, legendary horns, a closed helmet, skullbuster hat, head splitter hat, queen black dragon helm, and the Kalphite King helm. So these effectively look like you're wearing the head of either the QBD or the Kalphite King on your head when you have these.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
The closed helmet makes you look like Orc off the Relentless.
Oh, nice. And the Skullbuster and Hitsplayer hat just basically look like there's a weapon in your head.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Skullbuster.
And apparently the legendary horns are very big.
The which one?
The legendary horns apparently are very big. That's what the examine info is. Very, very big horns.
So you look like a mountain goat then?
Pretty much.
All right. So it's worth saying that between Friday, April 18th, oh, they got the date wrong, should be Friday, April 19th, and Monday, the 22nd, you will have extra chances to take advantage of these and win. So,
I should totally do that.
Yeah, do your squeal spinning this weekend, maybe do a few daily challenges, and hope you get lucky.
That ain't me, not with my luck.
Yeah, this week all I got so far has been cash bags.
Well, it could be worse. Could be getting emeralds.
I think that's more useful than cash bags.
Well, emeralds.
Especially small cash bags. So, this week's behind-the-scenes video is Pirates, Gnomes, or Dwarves, for the fact that we get to choose which quest series gets continued next. So what you do is you watch this video. A pirate, a dwarf, and a gnome will talk to you and tell you why they think your series, or their series rather, should be continued. And then after you watch the video, you click a little annotation, and then your vote is counted towards that. So let me just play for you what it says when you do the gnome option. Because that's the one I did. And personally, I think everybody should pick gnome. What are you guys going to pick?
Why gnome?
Well,
it's overdue.
You know, I think, yeah, that. And I think the gnome quest line has the most potential. Given the fact, everything that went on with Monkey Madness and how the monkeys are tied to the desert now, for example.
Wait a minute. Which gnome storyline is it? Is it the Monkey Madness one, or is it the Andrew Peraza one, or whatever it's called?
It's the one with Glovefree and everything like that.
So this is the Andrew Peraza one?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
So, whereas the pirate storyline, you know, I never really feel that one went very far. And then the dwarf storyline, of course, there's something going on in Keldegrim, but I mean, I don't know. I just never found those quests as appealing as the gnome ones. And the gnome ones always had nice puzzles and everything. And the gnomes seemed very intelligent. So that's why I went with the gnomes.
You remember in Monkey Madness when everyone had to try and solve that slider puzzle and lots of people were getting angry because they couldn't do it and they didn't want to pay 500K for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. Actually, one of my friends had a hard time doing it. He's like, he said, I quote-unquote quit. I said, I'm coming over.
I did it for 5 different people.
You went on their computer at their house, or?
Yeah, I went on their computer at their house, and they said, I got a puzzle. And they said, all right, here we go again. So I did it.
All right, I'm playing what the gnome says after you vote for him.
Thanks for voting for the gnomes. I owe you a blurberry special.
And they got people that are dressed up in character and everything like this too. So, you know, they actually went out on location to shoot these things like this. So, must have been pretty entertaining for them to do that. All right. So, make sure you vote because winner will be announced on May 3rd. So, should be interesting to see which one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go pirates for them all.
I'm doing gnome
Let's
right
not
now.
Do pirate.
Oh, hidey, diety, 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 diety.
What does that mean? And are you done?
It's saying in the subtitles, thanks for voting for the pirates. I'll see you again, me landlubbers. And there's the gnome sitting there.
Huh.
What the fudge? Who did I vote for?
That's weird. I don't know. It all depends on where you clicked on the video. So.
I clicked on the gnome. I got the gnome. The subtitles say, hello, it's pirates. So obviously, I voted for the dwarves. Have a nice day.
Well, that's not all there was in terms of videos this week. There was also the RuneScape 3 Q&A, which was a bonus BTS video. So I highly recommend that everybody, watch this video because it gives lots of important information about the beta program and what the plans are with it. If you don't watch it, you're kind of missing out because there's some very interesting information in there. So, particularly pertaining to the client, and we got a question about that later. So, all right, now, shall we talk about what everyone's been waiting for? The RuneScape 3 beta?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I didn't realize that it was part of the main game until I ate some rocktails, and I was like, oh, shoot, it actually disappeared.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I thought it was a separate
beta. Oh, you didn't
beta.
Think it was going to disappear on your main account, did you?
Uh-huh. Nope.
That was like the evolution of combat, huh?
Oh, well, I ate,
oh, that's funny.
Two pieces of rocktail anyway. I got plenty more on my back. Glad I didn't decide to drop my very expensive armor.
I should have followed you around just in case you would have done that.
No.
Anyways,
besides, you don't go to ports anyway.
Yeah, that's true. How does that area look, by the way?
Inside it or
outside?
Well, outside looks fine. Looks quite nice. I see the building looks a little bit better. Inside the port is a totally different story. It's nothing but graphical bugs and that thing.
You've been reporting
them? I had NPCs. Yeah. Biggest one was basically I had to do a random event thing in there, and the NPCs had no head, no arms, no legs. They were just clothes with a green hat.
Oh, wow. Okay. So to recap, for anyone who's under a rock, RuneScape is moving towards HTML5 and WebGL for their rendering engine. Now, they are also going to be providing the Java client for anybody whose computers can't run the new version, but there's no reason why you can't. So, right now, Google Chrome only. I tried in other browsers, specifically Firefox, Internet Explorer 10 on the iPad, and didn't really have much luck. What about you guys? Did you guys try anywhere else?
No, not yet. You'd think Firefox would work, though, because Firefox does support WebGL.
Yeah, that was the one I was expecting to work. I didn't expect the other ones to work, but Firefox didn't work for some reason. But
then again, Firefox does sort of use its own variation of WebGL.
Yeah,
like, it's not that different, but it's still sort of its own variation.
So people got access to this on Wednesday the 17th. Let's just say that it's a very rough preview of what it's going to be. Yeah. So for those of you out there, if there's any of you out there who are expecting this to be as polished as the Evolution of Combat was when that appeared, it's not. But as we said, that's a beta. It's going to be vastly improved. It's not even optimized yet. And on my gaming computer, I can max the thing out at 60 frames per second, providing shadows are off. So it's going to be amazing to see what happens when this gets optimized. So we just have to hope that that'll happen in good increments. Like, for instance, I think one thing that could really be worked on that'll probably come out relatively soon is the shadows. So that's an area of example that needs to be optimized. As you said, there's NPCs that are missing their heads. So that kind of stuff needs to be worked on as well. There's also some issues with the water shader oversaturating the reflections. So
I actually like the water. Water looks really nice.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
if you have the camera in the right position.
But I haven't done it in the Citadel yet, though. Water in the Citadel still looks bland. In Citadel, there's no change in the Citadel yet. I went in there to take a look. No significant change that I can see. So they haven't touched Citadel. They just touched more or less the main world.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, We do need to be understanding of them, that this is a whole new rendering engine, so there's bound to be these kind of errors. And, you know, it's probably better to release it now and optimize it along the way than waiting until later, because the more systems you can get it on, the better idea you can get of whether or not it's working. So it's good.
Well, Like they said, this is a beta. Anyone doesn't know what a beta means.
Yeah.
You're supposed to encounter problems. That's the whole point of a beta. Heck, exactly. My thing crashed when I was trying to get to ports. The first time I was like, oh, screw, I'm going to bed. I got a giant text wall of error messages like, oh, I'm not going to bother with this tonight.
That's
well, then you
sick.
Get your revenge. You just give them a big giant bug report filled with spam and stuff and just throw it at them.
You know, that's interesting. You said you got a big crash like that. I haven't had any real big crashes at all.
Well, as I said, you didn't go to port. You don't go to port.
So, overall, I'm very happy with what we got so far. Caveat, though, like I said twice before now, it's the unoptimized version. They will be optimizing in the future. So for anybody out there who's writing a scathing review, I know there's probably a couple of them out there. Give it time. Need to take effect that this is a beta and it's not smooth yet. So
actually, that's supposed to be. On top of that, they actually made ports a little bit worse in the beta because if you end up having your ships in dock, it actually covers a part of the screen.
Oh, really?
So I just see when I was doing ports earlier, I actually saw nothing but a giant log staring in front of my screen. And I was like, I can interact with the ship that I'm on, that I selected, but all I saw was just brown.
Okay. So, how's your guys' performance?
At first, there was quite a bit of lag. It was only running at about 10 frames per second, but later on, it actually got a little bit better.
Yeah, once you start loading everything the regular. Up, I was lagging up a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So,
are you using a Windows computer or Mac, Alex?
Mac, always my Mac.
Oh wow, that's good. I wasn't able to get mine to go above 15 frames per second. Mm-hmm. I had to go on the Windows computer to have anything playable.
Mm-hmm. Well, amazing that it actually worked then. Because of the play that I ran around, I didn't actually do anything crazy like fight monsters or anything, because they actually warn us not to do any of that
stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't do that at this stage of it.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to crash when I'm there. You know, some effect comes up that causes it to crash. So
what you do is follow the people who are level 200 going to boss battles. You follow them toward their hole, they crash and take their stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one thing that was very amazing that, you know, we didn't believe them at first when we heard about this, but the draw distance on this is absolutely insane.
It's incredible, yeah. And this is actually the lowest setting, too. They haven't even given us the full extent.
Oh, really? I thought this was. Okay.
No, they say that they automatically set us to the lowest possible setting, which includes draw distance.
Yeah, if you go into customs, everything is set very low. Draw distance is low, anti-lying is low, bloom is off, everything is really totally low. You can't even...
Now, bloom is off, that's a lie. Thing is bright.
As an example, I went to the top of the Wizard's Tower and I was able to see Lumbridge, Drainer Village, and that surrounding forest and the swamp.
Oh,
so,
snap.
That is pretty epic.
Holy cow. Yep. Dude!
What?
Yes. Okay, so I just turned my thing... in the Citadel up to high. It actually would make a big difference. There's actually more stuff here. But I am lagging worse than a Counter-Strike player.
You know what? I'm going to give it a try too.
Well, if you guys disappear, we'll know what happened. But,
Don't worry too much about that. WebGL uses more of the GPU than anything, so the CPU should still be okay to record.
That's good. Thank you for reminding me of that. Let's talk about this. It's WebGL, which is, of course, very different based on the OpenGL that Java uses. So, Alex, you actually work with WebGL.
I do, yes.
So Chrome, I'm betting, is the leader on this front.
At the moment, yes.
Okay. So, now, what were you saying pertaining to the GPU versus CPU?
GPU versus CPU? Well, the GPU is... the graphics card, right? It's like a specialty, or it's like, sorry.
Yeah.
It's like specialty memory that is configured specifically for rendering graphics, and it makes it render graphics a lot more faster than if the CPU tried to do it. So by transferring all the rendering stuff to the GPU, which is better equipped and capable of doing so, not only do you take a big load off the CPU, but you render it a lot faster.
Now, you said that WebGL can do this better than OpenGL?
I would lean a bit toward yes, but OpenGL does have that sort of capability as well if you use shaders.
And, you know, I'm actually betting that's where they were limited, because remember, they were, of course, limited by Java on top of this. And I'm betting that Java doesn't allow them to access all the features of the GPU that they'd want, whereas they can do that more easily with WebGL. So, that's probably part of it, and the fact that WebGL is so easy to access and use is another thing. Now, in regards to WebGL, does it... How is it for how much it can do? Like, is it at the same level as something like OpenGL at DirectX? Do you know if that's the case, or...
I haven't actually done any work with OpenGL, so I wouldn't know. But but as to whether or not it's capable of doing more work, well, it's still fairly experimental. I mean, people have been doing lots of things with it, but personally, I think it has better capabilities than DirectX.
Okay.
A little bit more flexible, and again, you have direct access to the GPU. Though it's all read, there's hardly any write.
Pertaining to the performance of RuneScape 3 and WebGL, based on your experience? Because you were saying something in pre-show about that, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I was saying that I've been working with WebGL. There's sort of a whole ton of tips and tricks that you can do. You can almost sort of hack the software to work a little bit better for you. At the same time, you have to be careful in how you use it, because you could either mess things up or you may run into bugs later on.
Okay. So there's likely going to be some tinkering with that regards then as well. You got a good resource on WebGL, which we'll save till later, but... Overall, I'm guessing we all think this is the right direction for the game to go.
Definitely.
Okay.
I'm in the port right now. Where's that log that you were saying? I'm looking for the log, can't see it. A lot brighter,
and,
though.
And of course, this coming week, we also have the user interface alpha coming, which is probably what I'm more interested in, given everything, because I'm more of a UI type person.
Yes, we're gonna see you move stuff everywhere.
There's no water. The ocean's been drained.
Really?
You know, I actually noticed that as well up by the whirlpool, by Barbarian Assault.
So my ships are flying over a big dirt mound right now.
But what I plan to do once this gets optimized and everything is fixed and it's a lot more smooth is do a tour of some of the areas in RuneScape that are very nice to see, just maybe comparing the two, because I think that's something that needs to be done, and I've already started putting together a shot list about this. I figured I'd wait to do this because, you know, we could do it now, but... We're really not showing the final product, which is something that we need to consider. All right. That's enough about the RuneScape 3 beta for this week. We'll be talking about it at length for weeks to come, I assume. Shall we move on to questions?
Sure.
We got one audio question this week. It is from Marumska. I will play his question right now.
Hi, host. Moromsky here. How you doing? How would one test a new program? Wink, wink. Or the HTML5 RuneScape to push its limits? Granted, I crushed it within just walking distance. Also, do you think netbooks will come back, since there's plenty of mobile operating systems? Would be a perfect fit for it, I would have thought. And one last thing. What are monkey bars? I have no idea what they are, but they are necessary for the spirit tree to be protected. Anyway, talk to you next time. Rubs go out.
Monkey bars are things that you swing across in a playground.
Yes, and the only reason gnomes can't do it because their arms are too short to get the next bar. And if they fall, that's they right. actually fall farther than most of us. Further
and that's
than
painful.
Most of us.
So,
you can get them from the Brimhaven Agility Arena. Just make sure there's nobody there or else they're going to fall down into the lava and be angry at you.
Really?
Yeah, monkey bars there?
Oh, yes, those are those kind of monkey bars. But remember the food monkey bar.
Those too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
300 calories per 50-gram serving. I think it was like 20% fat. Sugar content's fairly low, only about 4% because they boil the sugar away when they make them.
Suffice to say, you can get them on Ape Atoll. Just teleport there, make sure you have a monkey gree-gree so you can get there safely, and then
and
go
the
to the food store and you can... And that, yes. And then you can just stock up on them in the food store there and teleport away. That's where you get them.
Same place you get monkey nuts from. And I know you need those too.
Yeah, that's right. Monkey bars and monkey nuts.
Tasty.
All right.
Monkey nuts.
So, working backwards... Netbooks. You guys think netbooks will come back?
No.
Netbooks. What are netbooks?
No. Oh, good. That's you don't remember. They were those cheap computers from about, maybe 3 or 4 years ago that were 9 or 10 inch screens that were
cheap
plastic and severely underpowered.
I consider them the female handbag laptop.
Oh, those.
Yes, those. You know exactly what I meant when I said that one, didn't you?
I figured they're pretty obsolete by now because we have tablets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They were killed by the iPad and whatnot.
And not to mention,
sorry guys, Apple wins again.
And not to mention, Chromebook came coming to the market and they're actually doing pretty somewhat okay.
Yeah, so I think netbooks are pretty much dead. I don't know if anybody out there listening has used one of them in the past, but they were severely underpowered, and they were very painful to use.
Yeah, it's designed for, as I said, Asian women. Their fingers were smaller than the average people.
I see. And you would know this?
Because I go to a place that's diverse, Shane God.
I know. All right. So netbooks aren't coming back. And then let's talk a bit about beta testing because that was the first part of this question. So there's two ways of doing it. The first way is to just go about your normal general routine in whatever kind of software that you're using. So just go about your thing and see, report anything that looks out of the ordinary. Good thing to do on RuneScape would be to do a walk around your favorite areas and just report anything that looks like it's off, like the water in the whirlpool at the barbarian place was missing, for example. Like you said, there was a problem with ports inside the room, so you'd report that. Another thing that I reported was the odd-looking shadows on the bank items, for example. The fact that bank window lagged quite a bit, I think they already fixed that. So just go about your general things and report anything that's out of the ordinary for starters. And then, what you can do, there's to get at some of the fringe cases, you can look at things that have been problems in the past. So for example, this week in the patch notes, we had the thing about Varrock Armor 4. Having a stretching issue. So what you would do is you use the same kind of test that you did there, and because the two game engines are different at this time, you would do the same test that you did before that had the stretching issue and see if it does it here as well. So you test things that have been broken before but have been fixed in your baseline. So that's one thing. The other thing to do is to try and think of absurd fringe cases. So an example of this might be for testing something graphical would be to get different pieces of armor that people wouldn't necessarily pair together. So, for example, barrows or bandos, chest plate with bronze legs and bronze boots, for example. You would want to try and create odd combinations that most people would not have. Because if you think about it, the things that are going to work the best are the things that everyone use. So if you have some very oddball stuff that you wear, you would do that. Alex, something you might want to do, because I know you used to go down there quite a bit. You know that dungeon from the Legends Quest where you used to do your cannon party things?
Oh, yeah?
You might want to check down there, because not many people are going to be doing Legends Quest on the RS3 HTML5 beta.
That is true.
So think of fringe cases.
I've actually been down there
things.
Like a couple weeks ago, and as it turns out, the barrels no longer spawn monsters.
Well, there you go.
This is a real shame. That's why I went down there, just to fight all these cool monsters.
Test graphical issues with that. So look for the fringe cases, things that don't normally happen. Focus on things that you know have been broken before and your general routine. Same goes for software. Try and think of fringe cases. In a piece of software I was once writing, it was a drawing thing. It didn't work on dual monitors because the coordinate system was off. It didn't need to work on dual monitors, but the fact that if you moved the window to a different screen, it would screw up. So this was just something that would only be noticed by people running dual monitors. So that's one of those fringe cases that would be far off. Another thing might be look for different cases in startup. Applications might start up when you first get them. But if you leave them in a certain state, does that state persist and does that cause any problems when you bring it back up? So for an example, another thing, same drawing program, if you zeroed out the canvas and then turn the program off and then started it up, it would try and load that same canvas with nothing on that, and that would be an error that wasn't being addressed properly. So look for fringe cases, look for things that aren't exactly obvious in general.
Make it your life's goal to try to break the game. You want that game broken, and you want to be the one to do it.
Yeah, trust me. And it's being a beta tester is great if you're one of those that thinks outside of the box.
Yeah, and you know, that's the number one thing with beta testing. Try and break it. So, anyways, thank you, Maramska, for that.
I was just going to say, it is a beta. It's just you're supposed to break it. That's the whole point of a beta.
Yep. And,
but,
you know,
grab a hammer.
Yeah, don't do that. But, all right. Thank you, Maramska, for that question. Anybody else out there who's listening and wants to send in an audio question like Maramska did, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail at our voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Or more conveniently remembered as 571-57-BANDB. Or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is RSBNBUpdate.
And if you guys can add an explosion to the background or something while you're talking, that would be awesome.
Or that, yes. All right. Alex, read the first question from Chris.
All right, from Chris. Dear hosts, the Jug Extreme said in the beta program Q&A that they will not have a downloadable client. What are your thoughts on this? I personally prefer playing in clients over in Chrome or Firefox. In referring to last week's question, adrenaline potions are already in the game. http://.
Yes, that's period. Okay, Alex. Okay.
You know, if you had a slightly better, deeper voice, you'd be a great computer announcer.
I don't have a very deep voice, unfortunately. Shame my brother, he's awesome.
All right.
Downloadable clients.
Alright, I forgot the question.
You just read the thing, dude.
I'm being silly.
This really isn't an issue. Even if that's the case, the fact it's in a web browser makes it very easy to create a client. If you give RuneScape.com the ability to create pop-up windows, create windows with no border, and create windows with no address bar and toolbars to give full control over that to the page via Chrome, you can actually conveniently create a bookmark that will create a pop-up of the game window. And in doing this, you get a standalone game window, no toolbars, no nothing. It'll look exactly like the downloadable client did. The only thing is it'll be called Chrome in a window, but nonetheless, all you need to do is press the Chrome button and start it up. So this will be entirely doable with the HTML5 version, providing you give RuneScape.com the right privileges. Later on, once the beta becomes more playable and I'm playing it more than 20% of the time like I am now, we will, or rather, I will come up with a little string of JavaScript that'll be a bookmark that everyone can use to launch RuneScape in a little window like this. Because I understand how it can be painful doing that, and we're already lucky that Chrome doesn't have a status bar, so all we need to do is get rid of the address bar and toolbars, and we're good to go. And
make sure you also create an icon on the desktop as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's another good thing with Chrome. You set this up to the thing, and then if you give those properties to that shortcut you can create, you can do that automatically with Chrome. So that is the reason why there's no need to have a downloadable client with this. And also the fact, another reason is probably technical, actually, because if you have a client, you need to package some sort of rendering engine with it, like the current client packages OpenJDK, which is a variant on Java. You can't really do that with HTML5 and Chrome, because Chrome is unique and you can't repackage that as your own. So that's another reason why.
In a nutshell, Chrome actually is the client in this case.
Exactly. And just the fact you can create a shortcut and create a thing that opens a new window with it without the fuss of all the windowing and whatnot, that pretty much solves this problem. So it is fixable. And once I'm playing it more, I will create a shortcut to do this. I've had one in the past. I just need to rework it a bit. So not a problem at all.
Okay. All right.
Trekkie, next one for you.
All right. This one's from Scream Truth. By the time this question is answered, I shall have a fair amount of hours put into the RS3 beta. My question is, what is your favorite area in the game that is the most beautiful, graphically impressed area? Honestly, I haven't been that far around. But you talk about the whole Wizard's Tower thing, so that should be interesting.
You know, I thought that the Western Elflands were going to be spectacular, but because that area hasn't been updated, it's not as high detail as the other areas are, so it doesn't look as great as it could. It still looks good, but not as great as it could. I'm going to actually have to say the best place to go is the little bridge with the river in Taverly. That's a very nice...
The one right between, Taverly?
By the Farming Patch and Lady of the Lake. Right in Taverly there. That's a good place because you can get the camera really low. You can increase the draw distance to maximum. You can see the entire town. Then you can see all the way off to the Taverly dungeon as well. And you also got the benefit here of having smoke effects from the house as well as the water in the river. So it's a good test bed, and it looks really good.
Yes, for me, stand on the top of the Dark Wizard's Tower. It's just to the southwest of Falador, and take a look toward the city.
Oh, okay.
I haven't really gone that far either.
And you can see all of Falador from there?
Most of Falador, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, so there's our areas.
Otherwise, just basically look for, a tower anywhere. Like, you got the Guard Tower in Berthrope, you got the Thormek, the Sorcerer's Tower nearby Sears Village, you've got the...
Wizard's Tower.
Yep, Watchtower in Yneel.
Yeah, so lots of high-up places you can go to get a view.
Yes, and do try to turn it up. Turn up the settings if you can.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend turning shadows on, because that really killed performance for even me.
Well, if you're just there to take a look, I don't think you're worried about performance, so just take a snap a picture or so.
You think they get all the shadow code in a shader? You do it right, yeah, it wouldn't take any extra.
I don't know. Jagex always has the habit of things doing things a bit differently, so...
Again, it's the beta. But,
yeah, exactly. So all these things are going to be ironed out, so keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Also, might have something to do with their dynamic shadows, but I'm not much of an expert on that, so...
They are really good, though. I mean, definitely have a light source, and they move with everything else. Really good. Nicely done.
Yep.
Just need a little bit more fade to them, I think. Like, the edges need a little bit more of a fade.
Yeah, but the elf lands are good, as is Taverly. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Scream Truth. Next one is from the Pyro. My question for you today is, what do you think is the best way to make money in RuneScape right now? From Dark Pyro.
Buy $500 worth of spins once a week. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, but technically it is the best way.
Which, you know, to some people is kind of unfortunate, but...
It's also silly.
Yeah. You know, the best way to make money is, unfortunately, PVM bossing.
PVM bossing.
Like, if you're looking for stupidly insane amounts of money, your best bets are to go to things like the Calphite King and Nex. Those are definitely on the top. Other things include Dragonstones, which some of us have expertise in.
Giggity.
How's that going?
It's been good.
What?
It's talk been to me. Good.
What kind of profit you got this week?
No comment.
Oh, but it is a profit.
Yeah, I always make money off of it. Not saying that I will make $1 million every 30 seconds, but it is a good profit for me.
Do you so you buy the dragon stones? Do you buy them cut or uncut?
Why don't you look at the GE and I should answer that for yourself.
Okay. And probably you buy the cut. Gold bars, correct?
Yeah, I buy gold bars.
Okay. And yes, you do buy them cut because the cut dragon stone is only 10.6K, while the uncut is about 14K. So it shows why you would do that. So what he does is he...
you know, this has not been a secret. I've been saying that for months.
And then, exactly, I know. Then you make the amulets, you enchant them, string them, and off you go, you sell them. So,
yep. Or you can go my other way of making over 200,000 gold bracelets. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's always fun.
It's 120 GP each minimum.
You know, I was going to do that for 90 smithing, but I'm not sure I want to.
Technically, you'll be turning them into gold bars.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's good, but...
This is one of the better ways to do it.
Yeah. So we got PVM bossing so far, KK and Nex. We got the Dragonstone method. For me, what I like to do... I prefer to finance stuff on my own, but if I ever needed money, you know, you can still earn a bit of money from herb farming, as strange as that sounds. What you do is you just take your price of a toad flax, which is 3.5K, and the toad flax is only 854. So you get 7 toad flax on average per, and they're about 3,600 each. So you multiply that by 7, so 3,600 times 7 gives you, oh, I don't know, like 25K per seed, and all but 850 of that is profit. So you do that on 5 of them, 5 per run. That's a good amount of profit when you think about it. That's like 24, that's like almost 8. Yeah, it's almost like 100K profit per run if you get that. So,
how often can you do it? Like, how fast do the herbs grow?
Well, you know, they used to be every 2 hours or so, but I'm not that active anymore. But if you were fairly active on RS, I don't see why it wouldn't be that much, so.
I suppose it's something to do, like, right before you go to bed every night, and then you wake up, everything's done, and you just go
first
flexible.
Get on. So you get 24.3K profit per plot, and you do that times 5, you can get a good amount of profit if you get a good return on it. So now's
an even better profit if you get your own seeds.
Yeah. So it's slow, but it's good money. That's my favorite way. Mm-hmm. Alex, do you have any money-making methods?
Yes, I do, and I don't think you guys are going to like it.
Okay.
Treasure trails. Level 3 treasure trails.
That works.
In a nutshell, train your slayer as best you can. Try to fight as many monsters as you can to drop the level 3 clue scrolls, and once you get one, stop fighting that slayer monster and go do it.
Yeah.
Usually it only takes me like 20 minutes to solve each one, and the last time I did one, I got a Zamorak cloak, which is like an instant million. Million coins, 20 minutes. Have fun.
Yeah, and you know, clue scrolls in general, because last time I looked, the god page market was really high. Mm-hmm. So,
and god pages are actually quite common compared to some other things.
Yeah, like if you get a Zamorak page, all those are above 2 million each. One of the Ceridoman pages as well. So, I mean, it's definitely a good method. So,
and then there's always the chance of getting third age, and that right there is your payday.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Because they've gone up, haven't they? I mean, I'm looking at the prices, and they've been still pretty steady.
Yep. So.
Haven't yet gotten one yet, but I'm working on it.
Way back when.
Okay, cool. Shall we move on?
Approximately please. Forever ago.
Next one.
Next one. Question from Baradkuda X. How would you guys like me to read this?
Just read it normally, please.
I can't do normally. I have to do something else.
Sound like a naughty German about to try and do seduce a woman.
Okay. okay. Please. Hello, guys. Long time listener. First time question. I have Hughes net satellite net internet, and I get 1 megabyte per second download speeds, occasionally getting 3. What is a good money stat training method that would work with the leg I have? 16 frames per second, 1389 ping. Random question, if you could be a Pokemon, which would you be, and why?
You know what that sounded like, Alex?
That was not German. I'm sorry.
You know what you sounded like?
What did I sound like?
You sounded like Uncle Dana when he was trying to sound like a Jamaican but ended up sounding like Scottish man. Shane wasn't
German again. I forgot what German was now. God.
Oh wow.
We have a very nice clip show at the end of the year of Uncle Dana trying to sound like a Jamaican but ended up sounding like a Scotsman trying to sound Jamaican.
So now you got me trying to sound like a German, ending up sounding like Uncle Damon, trying to sound like a Jamaican who ended up sounding like a Scottish man.
Yes. Be proud.
I am
Dana right now is rolling on the floor and laughing his ass off right now.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Actually, we need to answer that one first. Okay. But
just kidding.
Herb farming, of course, is always good. We just mentioned that, actually. So herb farming is not ping-dependent.
Yay!
Oh, that's my
price
contribution.
Of herb, and price of herb actually has been going up. So the kingdom's actually still decently if you do it every month. Sell this stuff every month.
Right.
You could also do fishing.
Yes, fishing. Combat. Anything combat is pretty much out of reach here.
Anything dynamic like agility training is also out.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you sit on that bicycle at the blast furnace. That's like 1 experience per second or something like that.
It's pretty slow.
And you have to fix it every so often.
Okay.
And there's no really profit to that.
Yeah, it, you know, your best bet is going to be something like one of the secondary skills, if not one of the primary skills. So either mining, fishing, or woodcutting. Mm-hmm. Granted, they're not good moneymakers, but you can still make a decent amount of money from especially woodcutting and fishing. Or not woodcutting, I mean mining and fishing, if you're of high enough level. Mm-hmm. If not for that, I would have to say the herb farming that we mentioned previously, or the crafting dragon stones, because you're not doing treasure trails, because those involve combat from time to time, and that's not good.
Well, depending on what treasure trails you do, if you do level ones, you're perfectly fine.
Yeah. So.
Actually, level twos are good too, because you don't have to fight anything.
But the 1389 ping is not something we can fix, but the 16 FPS would be fixable by upgrading your graphics card. So that is true right there.
And just a random question, would the lag actually be caused by internet connection?
Yes, it would. The 1389 ping would be. Yep.
Interesting. I thought that it only loads what it needs and then it lets the CPU run everything else.
Well, I mean, you can have a slow.
Because that's why you have the loading going on at the start of every
RuneScape.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you can have a slow connection playing RuneScape. That's perfectly fine. In fact, it works just fine with that. But the problem is the ping, because so much stuff you do in that game depends on interacting with the server. So you do need to have a quick connection under 100 milliseconds. So. All right. That is an issue. I'm so sorry about that you have such a bad connection. Pretty much anything would be hard to do in that case.
I guess just my question was, would the 16 frames per second actually have been influenced by a low connection? And I really don't think that's the case.
No.
So the fact that you have both 16 frames per second and the ping, I feel for you, man.
Yeah. One thing I would recommend to do, something that's good money, these are pretty high as they are right now, definitely the highest in the last year or so, gold ore. If you could find a place to mine gold ore is almost 400 GP each, so that's good money right there with the mining skill.
That's pretty good. And mine's quite quickly, depending on your level.
Yeah. So
go to the Crafting Guild, or you can go to Donakin's Rock, or you can go to that Kramja ring.
Mm-hmm.
Use the Kramja grill of teleport to type one. I take the cart back. Boom, you're there.
Yep. All right. Thank you for that question, Barra Dukuda.
He also had a random question, I think.
Oh,
yes he did.
Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Magic card. Really?
What?
Yeah. Why not?
Because he flops around and does nothing.
Yeah, that's what Shane does every day at home.
I'm sure you don't do that much.
But no, in a serious answer, one of the psychic ones. I think Shane's. His name was Alakazam.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those.
The fully evolved form of what you might call it, Kabra.
Abra.
Abra. There you go. I don't know why.
Then wasn't the second one called Kadabra?
Yippers. Mm-hmm.
See, we're old school like that. The only Pokemons I know are the first 150.
151?
Yes,
151. Yeah, technically 151.
Well, Alex, what Pokemon would you be?
Let me think. There's like 600 to choose from.
Oh my god.
I stopped counting after 250. Like, I'm done.
There's a Pokemon X and Y coming out, Generation 6, and they have more.
Yeah.
Anyways, have one. Porygon.
Oh, okay.
Porygon, the Polygon.
Oh, isn't that one of the first 150?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
A classic. He was my favorite then, and he's still my favorite.
Yeah, his episode is actually what caused the great rush to the hospital in Japan many years ago.
Yep, because his episode gave people kids seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They
completely canned that episode. Never made it to the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But the reason I want to be a Porygon is because he can go into computers and hack stuff from the inside. That is boss.
you realize a good firewall would have stopped you.
Yeah.
An antivirus would probably kill you.
Yeah.
Porygon is the first man-made Pokemon, the product of extensive research by Silph-Co. It consists entirely of programming code, allowing itself to convert itself back to program data. This allows it to move freely in cyberspace. The code is copy protected to prevent duplication. This code is fairly restrictive, limiting Porygon to pre-programmed motions, actions, and reactions. As it does not need to breathe, it is used in various environments and even some normally considered inhospitable.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure if you try to put a Porygon into Shane's computer, he'll come over and kill you.
You have to catch me first.
Hey, Alex, you're not that fast.
I'll just jump on No, I can't. I am, actually. I'll jump into the computer. I'll jump on his internet connection. I'll be in China in the blink of an eye.
Tell you, you'll be faster than a blink of an eye.
Okay. I can go around the world 7 times.
Actually, you probably a couple of 100 million times if you think about it.
Warp 1. Eat a light.
What would I be? You know what? I'd be
mud.
Eevee? Yep.
Why not
small, cuddly, and furry?
No, it's because I have the ability to evolve and to suit my needs.
Only once.
Oh, right. Isn't that the one that the stone needed to evolve?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or it can turn into a dark Pokemon, a psychic Pokemon, and I don't know what happens after those. They probably add a couple thousand more to it.
Hey,
I think they did. I think they got one in each class.
You mean Electrode?
Yeah.
Why?
Big giant ball.
I don't know.
You want me to start a jihad here in the U.S.?
No.
Okay, then.
He thinks you have a big temper, too.
I do have a big temper. He knows that.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
Oh, I should... No, no, no. Forget the Magikarp idea. That was a bad idea.
Okay, God, you worried me for a second there.
I thought you were be a psychic Pokemon, be Alakazam.
No. Nope. I changed my mind again.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Ditto. Flip-flop. Forgot about that one.
So does this mean I also get 2 mind changes?
No.
You want to be Ditto because you want to be a changeling?
Yes.
Start pretending become human?
He wants it to be a Ditto so he doesn't have to pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Then I can be anyone.
You know, being a Ditto is like having a sprayed-on tan.
You would know, wouldn't you?
No, I have a 1-pack. That's it. And besides, I actually turn dark unlike you rednecks.
Okay. All right, that's enough Pokemon for today. So,
enjoying it.
Right, last question, Cherokee. That one for you.
All right, this question. Oh, I get the essay. Okay, this question is from 101 Duck 1. Hello to our wonderful host.
With feeling.
For a more technical question, I am currently using a fairly dated Dell laptop to run Chrome and RuneScape. With the beta, I've been experiencing slight significant lag and was wondering if any of you think it would be worth it if I were to pick up a Chromebook. Being specifically designed for that browser, I would think that it may get a better HTML5 experience on the beta. Also, what is your personal favorite in-game reference allusions to be used to the outside world? The clear choice for me is the resulting message when attempting to use a raw herring on an evergreen. Thanks again, guys. Okay, so...
The Chromebook, the simple answer is no. Chromebooks are simple computers. Their hardware is not that great. You will get much better performance out of a standard laptop running Google Chrome browser. So, don't go getting a Chromebook just for RuneScape.
If it's for the beta, do the Chromebooks have good graphics cards at all?
You know, they're not as good as a graphics card that you can get in a regular computer.
Yeah. Again, WebGL is heavily GPU-oriented, so you want to have something with a good graphics card.
Exactly. So... So that's why I say just get a normal laptop and run the Chrome browser.
Or get a full desktop. Build your own computer.
Yeah. So, I mean, the paper clips would and work, pencils. But it's not going to be the optimal solution. So, simple answer to that one. Yeah. All right. I really like this next one that's going up. Let's start with Alex.
Me?
Do it. Oh.
Personal favorite in-game reference?
Yep. Oh, I know what Shane's going to pick.
Well, if you already know that, then why don't you pick first? Because I have yet to pick a favorite.
I said what Shane's going to pick.
Yeah, you guys go. I have to still... I have to think, what do I know that's still funny?
What's your first one favorite in-game reference? I know. I'm still waiting for my Wookiee.
All right, I got my
okay.
I'm still waiting for my Wookiee.
I think my favorite reference is the fact that they put... is that in the player-owned ports, they put all six of the ponies in the My Little Pony Friendship and Magic into the... as island names.
Really?
Really?
Like, even if they subtly... like, I would understand if they subtly put it in there, but to put the entire cast of them into the...
into the islands,
right?
Into the
update as island names, I think it's pretty pretty crazy. Pretty dedicated.
You mean bronies?
Yeah. There's bronies on that team. So that's devotion. I'm actually proud of those guys, the guys for that.
All right, you guys ready for mine?
Go for it.
That's it. I bet it has something to do with a hot air balloon.
Yes.
See?
Captain Picard,
I was right.
In Light and Journey Quest.
I told you.
Yeah.
That's such a great quest. I wish I could replay it.
That's funny.
You get to be his number one.
I don't want to be number two.
You're number one.
Number
two is Data.
Technically, it became Counselor Troi when she got promoted.
Yes, that is true.
But one little thing is, ever since that quest, I still want my Chewbacca. I'm still waiting for my Wookiee.
Which quest?
I want.
Which
I'm
quest,
still waiting
sir?
For my Wookiee. Shane had his Star Trek Inner Light. He also had Serac teaching logic. And I just want my Wookiee.
Oh. Want your Wookiee reference.
Oh. Go, Shane.
Okay. Yes.
So what's Tricky's favorite reference?
My favorite reference? I don't really have one.
Sure you do. Just name one off the top of your head.
I am. I got nothing.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you for the questions. Good questions this week and lots of new posters. Look forward to seeing more next week. Thanks, everyone.
And 101 Duck 1, keep tuning in. I'm going to make Trekkie say a reference.
Yeah, he will.
He will say a reference. All right. Just keep tuning in. Don't lose hope. We got this.
So this week for tech news, we got Twitter Music. So it's a music service on Twitter. It shows you what's popular based on tweets and whatnot. It also can show you what's suggested for you based on the artist you follow if you do that. Now, of course, there's no way to turn off the status updates from these artists, so you don't want to follow all these artists and get a huge supply of tweets that are spam. You just don't want to do that. That is the one problem with this feature. But we did test this, Brad and myself. He tested it, followed a bunch of people, and actually, after he started following about 5+ artists, it actually started to make useful recommendations to him. So that's good. Good for people that want to follow people like this, but I don't want to clutter my stream with that just to use it as a music discovery engine. Also, if you have a Spotify account, it gives you the option to play full tracks. So, pretty good that Twitter came out with something like this. Either of you have a chance to look at it or have any thoughts on it?
Actually, I don't use Twitter.
Oh, okay. Hair. Have a beer.
I think we're on three different conversations here.
Current is somebody by the name of Oblivion, followed by Linkin Park, Maroon 5, Pink, Deadmau5, Miguel, I Am Will, Psyoppa, Macklemore, and Paramore. In the top
How dare you
10.
Mispronounce Deadmau5's name?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Nah, just
being silly. Just a thought. But yeah, music.twitter.com, sign in and see what's available. Even has a thing for emerging talent, so you want to discover something new, you might as well check it out. I don't have anything as suggested, but if people tweet now playing, you can actually see what they're listening to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so very useful if you follow music people on Twitter.
Interesting. But you're not able to download the songs, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
It's not purchased yet. You can just, there's a link to iTunes and Amazon where you can purchase them.
Okay, now that's marketing. That's clever.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're going to get royalties for this. Go ahead.
Yeah, they do. Next up, Facebook Android finally gets voice calling. So if you're an Android user and you want to make voice calls using Facebook, you can do that now. I don't know of anyone that's done that. Power to them. Yeah.
Or you can always use Skype. Skype is pretty well the universal voice chatting software. Why are people making other ones?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Maybe you can add effects to the voice or something like that, like make you sound like a robot. Then that would be awesome.
You know, with it being Facebook, that would not surprise me.
There's an app for that.
All right.
Intense.
So there's that. And next thing that we should actually discuss a bit is Kepler-62. It's a star system 1,200 light years away. There's known to be five planets. It's in the constellation in Libra. Two of which should be in the habitable zone, meaning that if water is there, it could be liquid. And we know that water is necessary to support life as we know it.
Nice.
So two potential things to examine here. One is 1.4 times the size of Earth and orbits a star in 267 days. So that's pretty much like ours. And then there's another one, 1.6 times the Earth, orbits in 122 days. But unfortunately, 1,200 light years away, that's pretty far.
It is fairly far, yeah.
I mean, when you call 20 light years close and 1,200 far, so. But Kepler-62e and Kepler-62f. And because it's so far away, it's not going to be possible to get an exact visual of this through the planet's atmosphere, so we'll need to use observing outside of Earth to get access to this, but very, very interesting indeed.
And like they say, it's the strongest evidence yet for more than one Earth-sized planet existing.
Yeah. Yep. And we do it here, too, with Venus. So it's pretty much a mirror twin. So. Very nice indeed to know this is paying off. Anything else on this one?
Not for the moment.
Huh?
Trekkie. No comments. Pretty cool.
Trekkie.
What, the Kepler thing?
Yeah.
We're never going to reach it.
I hope they know Morse code.
That's the unfortunate part.
Not unless we do cryogenics, start using cryogenics and do the sleeper ship going over.
Yeah, but still, long time. Even if we were to send a signal there, it wouldn't get back for 1,200 years. Or it wouldn't get there until 1,200 years from now. So,
well, how the heck did the telescope see it if it's that far away?
Well, because based on light. Based on observing the light from it.
Do you remember one thing? We're not really seeing the star. We're seeing the light that it emitted from the star 1,200 years or so ago.
Well, here's the thing. If the light came from them 1,200 years ago, how do we know they're even still there?
We don't.
Exactly.
And there you go.
So what we're seeing could be an after image. And assuming there was life there 1,200 years, it could be gone. Like, are we going to be here in 1,200 years? I don't know.
Probably not.
That's one of the theories in space exploration is, you know, we're not really seeing the star in the sky. We're really seeing the light that was emitted from the star how many thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. And in theory, in about, if it's really not there, it will disappear, however, later on.
Yep.
And remember, the universe is always expanding. Unless you believe some of the other theories of the universe, but so far, theories of it expanding has been the most proven one.
Schrodinger's cat. Mm.
We should.
All right, that's it for tech news this week. Moving on to the Skill of the Month update.
All right.
Yes, I saw that.
I know.
This month's Skill of the Month is cooking. We're in relatively the same position as last week. Flash is still in first with 19.4 million XP gained. Second place, Jason B with 11.6, gone relatively flat. And third place is Anoy with 4.3 million, also gone flat. So if the person in fourth or third wants to take someone over, that would be a good time.
Mm-hmm. I probably should have entered because I'm already at about 13.7 XP.
You can't enter because you can only enter these Skill of the Month competitions in the first week before the month starts. Mm-hmm. So,
you know what we should totally do for 1 month just to see what would happen is that you have people enter the Skill of the Month and then you stop entries coming and then you tell them what the skill is.
You mean... Oh, you mean do an entry before the skill is announced?
Yeah. So people don't know what they're signing up for. See what would happen.
Yeah. Probably get that'd a good turnout on some
be
of them.
Fun.
It's fun.
Unfortunately, it would be too hard to set up doing that.
So. Yeah, I guess it would. Maybe we just have to do it separately then, like Mysterious Skill of the Month or something. Miskatum.
Yeah. All right. So... with that being said, we'll talk about some achievements of the week. Actually, just one. Poison Nova, 99 ranged on the 17th, so congratulations to you.
Well done. That's a big achievement.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Note my enthusiasm on the subject. It's a very big achievement, and you should be very proud of yourself.
Yeah, dude. Ranged. I've never been much for training that one.
I just don't feel like buying the boots.
Well, no, you do chinchampas. Or schlingchillas, as they're affectionately called on the German server.
Nah, because the problem with those is they're more for killing lots, more of AoE thing, that's why I put like training on them, but I want to use my chaotic crossbows for something. I just don't, but I just feel range is very underpowered in the game.
Well, maybe, but it's not as much as it was underpowered before.
Oh, hello.
I think that's for sure. Yes?
My RS just crashed.
Oh, wow. Were you on the beta?
Yes.
Where were you?
Citadel. Mining. Suddenly died.
Oh, wow.
What was funny, though, because I was there for the entire hour. Nothing happened until now. Everyone's getting unable to connect to update server. Most likely caused by a firewall blocking the connection. Right.
Oh. It took a full hour for the firewall to come into effect. That's worrisome.
All right. Alex, I believe you have a pick for us. About
WebDL? Yes, I do. Alex. If you guys go to a website, it's called learningwebgl.com. And basically, this is the first site I went to when I was first learning WebGL. It's got lessons in there, which teaches you the basics. Provided you have a little bit of JavaScript coding experience and almost none at all about WebGL, then this is a very good resource to help get you started because it teaches you some of the basics, like just drawing shapes, moving them in the 3D space, add lighting effects, adding textures, particle effects, drawing different shapes and stuff, and even drawing a context within a context, which is basically a screen within a screen. So you can have like two separate WebGL renders going at the same time, one within the other, which is pretty sweet.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. They've got
That's interesting. I didn't know it looked like JavaScript.
It is used with JavaScript. The shader language, though, is used in a language called GLSL, which is like, I forget what it stands for.
So it's, like, it's all based shaders on JavaScript.
Yep.
Wow. That's nice.
You basically just program the entire thing on the HTML page as long as you have the script tag, and then boom, you're working with WebGL. Don't need any plugins, don't need any special programs, just need a notepad and type it in.
Okay, so that's why they're using this, because it just works straight up with something JavaScript-like. Yep. I'll definitely be having a look at this, and I highly encourage everyone who is interested in programming or interested in seeing what the technology behind RS3 starts out with is like. Just have a look at this website. I'm already interested in this. Good website.
Thank you.
I'm not nerdy enough to appreciate it to its fullest.
All right. And there's also,
it's nice to see this.
If you want a very inspirational example, there's one at a website called madebyevan, evan.com/webgl-water. Or you could look it up, WebGL water example. And it shows you just what you can do with the water effects. Here, I'm going to show the guys.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
That's what you can do with WebGL right there.
Press spacebar to pause and unpause. That's not working.
So you see it's got the lighting effect there. The lighting all happens in the shader.
Wow.
You got the shadows and you got the water rippling effects. That's all vertex magic. And again, most of it happens in GPU. Look at your CPU. Look at the CPU usage when you run that.
Hang on. Pulling up the Chrome Task Manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see.
Like, just open up the task manager or the whatever it is. Or activity monitor. Look at the CPU when you run that.
Yeah, CPU is not spiking at all that high on this. No more than a regular page. It's all in the GPU running at 60 FPS.
Yep. Okay, so yes, we know you like it, Shane. Let's move on to the last thing and let's get this show under wraps because we're way over time.
And he doesn't want to make that.
What is that?
We have, we are still accepting applications for the Informer.
That is true.
Yes. So if
you do want to apply to it, you can just head on over to the forums and see what the application topic is. It's global at the top of any forum. Essentially, what we want you to do is write about something RuneScape related. You have 750 words minimum that we'd like. More is always better. You should also include your RuneScape name, how long you've been playing, your general location, and an email address to get in contact with you. The important thing to note is that we are a current RuneScape production. So if you're an EOC player, you should probably not apply because, an
player.
07 player. Yeah, I'm sorry. We want you if you're an EOC player. But if you're an 07 player, you should probably not apply unless you play the current version of the game as your main version. So
yes.
So if you read informer.rsbnb.com and you're interested in what we're doing, you might as well have a look at this if you like writing and join us. So we look forward to seeing what you write.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's next?
What have you been doing, Shane?
What have you been doing?
Well, this week I've been working on my smithing still. Smithing the gold ore into the gold bars and whatnot. So there's that. But aside from that, just did a couple herb farming runs, since you can make good profit from them now. And I've also been running around in the RS3 beta, just seeing how things look and whatnot. So that's what I've been up to. You guys?
You go second, Alex.
Me? Well, I've been playing RuneScape basically whenever I can. I just log on, I go to the ports, I wander over to the Runespan for a bit, and I train that a bit so I can get level 90 runecrafting, so I can get my last adventure at my port, so I can complete my ports, so I don't have to do them anymore.
Actually, I need to get 90 thieving.
Otherwise, working. Last 3 weeks, I've been working with WebGL, believe it or not. And other than that, well, just doing the stuff I usually do. Kung Fu, okay. Getting stronger, push-ups every day. You guys should do it too.
Ow.
Revenge for the ear rape.
Don't forget to move your lips a little bit more after you're done talking.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's like a 2 week practice, actually. It's one of the first things you have to learn when you're doing Kung Fu. You have to learn how to talk while moving your lips in a totally different fashion, because it confuses the opponent, and when they're confused and disoriented, you get the first strike.
You?
Tactics.
Right. Why don't you just throw a coin at them and then just fight dirty?
There you go.
That's dishonorable, man.
Twist and pull.
I mean, come on, what's the point of learning Kung Fu and being able to do those awesome kicks and stuff if you can't do them? You do something else that's silly and take them down in one fell swoop. Not fun.
Yeah, but also remember the best, best battle won is a battle not fought.
I guess so.
Wise words.
All right. Let's move on. What have you been up to?
Me? I've just been working. Every time I get a chance to go on RS, I just do my ports. And funny enough, I actually did a little bit of... I did a dungeon earlier, which is actually quite refreshing to finally do a dungeon after
a
while.
Did you do it in beta?
No, I didn't do it in beta. I should. Not yet. Was there anything that I did on RS? He went to my kingdom and grabbed my stuff.
Nice.
Got a lot of coal. Right. I just need to get 90 thieving, but I'm so lazy to do it.
90 thieving's not that hard. Just do the pyramid plunder over and over again.
Monkey guards.
Guards?
You hit them as a giant gorilla.
Oh, yeah, right, those guys. Just punch them in the face and then pick their pockets and they get back up. They're like, what happened? And you punch them in the face again.
Yeah, basically.
This is face training. I'll take my pay on the way out.
All right. So thank you for coming to the show, Alex.
Hold up. Tricky.
Why?
You've yet to say your favorite RuneScape reference. You have one?
Do I have one?
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Shut up, Meg. Let's move on.
There you go.
Shane would never get that joke.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's why we're done for this week.
Yes.
See you next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you.